This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, so weird move going on with the Clippers. They announced that Chris Paul, who I believe Chris Paul already announced that this is his last year, they announced that Chris Paul is just no longer on the team. He posted on Instagram story before 3 a.m. Eastern time Wednesday that he had just learned he was being sent home to Los Angeles from Atlanta, where the Clippers play the Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday. Shortly after, Clippers president of basketball operations Lawrence Frank texted a statement to ESPN confirming that Paul was no longer on the team. "We are parting ways with Chris, and he will no longer be with the team. We will work with him on the next step of his career." Shams is posting out, too. I don't have it in front of me, but basically, like, Chris Paul's leadership approach has always been pretty high demand and trying to keep people accountable, and that didn't really fly with Clippers brass. And apparently, Tyronn Lue and Chris Paul were, like, not even on speaking terms for the last couple of weeks. So I don't know how you coach a basketball team and a guy like Chris Paul is not even on speaking terms. So that's a bizarre story here in our top stories of the day. Also, Mike, five-star quarterback Jared Curtis flips from Georgia to Vanderbilt. He announced on Tuesday night. Georgia to Vanderbilt, five-star, ESPN's number one pocket passer prospect, has flipped his commitment to from Georgia to Vanderbilt. Only thing you need to know is Vanderbilt got their hands on some cash. That's the only thing that comes to my mind now. Yeah.
I think their coach just built Vanderbilt.
Kalani Sitake sticking with BYU amid Penn State interest. Kalani Sitake will remain at BYU. They were able to get a deal done with him to keep him long term. And I just wonder too, like, if I'm Sitake and I'm looking at Penn State going, they just fired Franklin, do I want to go there? And if I got 2 to 3 years to be in the college football playoffs, I'm going to have all these resources, so the pressure's going to be crazy. So if I don't succeed there, then I'm out, and then I got to start all over. And for him, starting all over is not like going to be a coordinator somewhere. He would be able to be a head coach somewhere. But I just wonder if more and more of these coaches, seeing what we're seeing now, we're not just seeing coaches get fired. We're seeing pretty good coaches get fired with pretty decent resumes, and they're being let go. I mean, it's happened all the time, but they were aggressive. They were very aggressive in trying to make sure that they could lock him up long term. He's been with them since 2016. And they want to keep that rolling. And BYU, certainly a good season this year. They're 11-2, or they were 11-2 in 24, and 11-1 this season. And they're one of the top Big 12 teams. They've been a consistent top Big 12 team already. So, yeah, I'm glad for that. I like that coach, and obviously Ed Lamb was with him at BYU before he came over to UNC. So I didn't get a chance to talk about that on Football 52 today. There was so much to hit. I'm sure we'll discuss that next week. But good for Kalani Sitake and BYU. I think that's a good one. Lane Kiffin. All right, so we already talked about Lane Kiffin who is blessing Ole Miss with his offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., to go and coach for Ole Miss. So, well, he's going to serve as the team's offensive coordinator. Lane Kiffin's message made it sound like he's going to coach, but according to the Adam Rittenberg report on ESPN, he will serve as the team's offensive coordinator through the college football playoff, and that was the hope, according to Lane Kiffin, that would do enough to keep them pretty firm in the college football playoff. I don't know if that was it or if the playoff committee was like, this is still a good team. We're going to keep them in there no matter what. I would love to be a fly on the wall in any of those conversations that were going on. But this is what Lane Kiffin wrote. With the playoff committee releasing updated rankings tonight, which was last night, I wanted it to be known that after conversations with LSU, we are allowing Charlie to return to Ole Miss to coach the team during the playoffs. I've already made the committee aware of this, and I'm hopeful this decision will allow Ole Miss to receive the highest ranking possible because these great players are very deserving of that. I'm excited that Charlie will be back to help coach the greatest team in the history of Ole Miss. Ole Miss confirmed Weiss's return, listing him alongside Golding, quarterback's coach, Joe Judge, and six other assistants for the college football playoff staff. So Lane Kiffin claims that he wanted to remain Ole Miss's head coach even after taking the LSU job so he could finish the playoff run, but was informed Sunday he could not stay on. Ole Miss moved quickly to promote Golding to the team's defensive coordinator as their permanent head coach. Weiss has reportedly agreed to a three-year deal with LSU worth about $6 million. Five other Ole Miss assistants have joined Kiffin at LSU, including co-offensive coordinator and tight ends coach Joe Cox. But Weiss will be the only one returning to Ole Miss for the college football playoff. That is weird. That is weird to me. I'm sorry. This whole thing is freaking weird. It gets weirder. Michael, did you get the clip I sent over? With, yes, you are the man. Super Talk Mississippi sat down with athletic director of Ole Miss, Keith Carter, asking specifically about Lane Kiffin's claim that he was told Sunday that he wouldn't be able to coach Ole Miss in the playoff. Now, Kiffin said he wanted to remain Ole Miss's head coach even after taking the LSU job, but was informed Sunday he could not stay on. Here is Keith Carter, athletic director, speaking with Super Talk Mississippi about Lane Kiffin's claim. Here he is.
When was Lane Kiffin told that he would not coach Ole Miss in the playoff? Because he very publicly has said over and over that that is something that he wanted to do and didn't seem to be able to understand why that wasn't going to work.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things he said publicly that I'm not sure are totally accurate. You know, I think that both coach and his representation knew, you know, several weeks ago that the coaching in the playoffs was not going to be an option if he was not the Ole Miss head coach. And, you know,
finding out at 8:30 on Sunday morning for the very first time that he would not be coaching the playoff is not accurate?
No, that's not accurate.
So you get that. Keith Carter saying, no, that's not accurate. We didn't tell him that Sunday. Then Lane Kiffin also said that the team asked him to stay. That even though he was told Sunday by likely Keith Carter that you won't be coaching the playoff team, Lane Kiffin is also claiming that despite that, the team asked him to stay on. The team meaning probably the players, right? Well, now players are coming out, starting to say, no. Nope, that's not how that conversation went down. Not at all, actually. I mean, this is crazy. Bryson Sanders is an offensive lineman for Ole Miss, retweeted Lane Kiffin's statement on saying he was asked by the team. He quoted him saying, despite the team asking me to keep coaching, end quote. Bryson Sanders, said, I think everyone that was in that room would disagree. So Lane Kiffin just telling blatant lies that everybody has social media now and then go out and quickly say, no, that didn't happen. Can we talk about this for just a minute? Like, Lane Kiffin's going on, I prayed to God about it, and God told me to go to LSU. But you're also, like, according to Keith Carter and according to your players, which I can't imagine players would just start going out tweeting this without serious repercussions going on amongst their team. Also knowing that they can't, you know, that's going to hurt. If they're bashing their old coach or calling him out, you know, that's going to hurt their situation, whatever. They're going to risk that by lying. So you got Lane Kiffin saying, I'm talking to God and he's telling me to go to LSU. And then you also have him allegedly lying about the team, wanting him to stay, allegedly lying about when he was told he couldn't coach the playoff team. This is a weird story. Michael, is it a good idea for anybody to have Charlie Weiss Jr., keep wanting to call him Walt Weiss, but of course Charlie Weiss Jr., is this a wise idea for anybody involved to have Charlie Weiss Jr. go back to Ole Miss?
Does the school like him? Do the players like him?
Well, apparently the school's cool with him because if they weren't cool with him, they wouldn't be doing this. I mean,
yeah. See, I don't have a problem if they have faith in him
now.
Yes, but like I don't necessarily have an issue with any of the coordinators because Sonny Lubick, to take this kind of on a tangent, people loved Sonny Lubick. They hated a lot of his coordinators. I think that's why he was fired, because he was too loyal to his coordinators. There can be a difference between a coach and the coach's coordinators. This coach, there are a lot of red flags, and there have always been red flags with this coach.
Yeah, but Charlie Weiss got on that plane just as fast as Lane Kiffin did. Charlie Weiss Jr. got on that plane just as fast as Lane Kiffin did.
I mean, he might be loyal to the money. Maybe they could be friends. Maybe he likes the opportunity.
Well, he'll be back. I mean, he's going to go back. He's going to sit here for a while, and then he's going to go back. Probably doesn't have his house cleaned out yet. So he has a place to stay.
I could be a head coach of a team.
The
bizarro world.
Yeah, right.
Bizarro world.
Star Trek world.
Alternate universe nerd. I could be the head coach. You could be my offensive coordinator. Mm. And there could be all sorts of red flags about me. And you and I could be friends. And we could get along really well. But maybe you're better as a person. And maybe you're better as a football mind.
That could be true. Maybe they liked him a lot. Now, here's another thing I wonder. Do you think Ole Miss got any kind of intel that because Lane Kiffin was not going to be coaching in this game and he's taking several of the assistants away with him, do you think they got any kind of intel from the committee that they would drop Ole Miss out of the rankings?
It's quite possible.
And so for them to go, is there any way we wouldn't be dropped out of these rankings? If you can retain, I don't know, because it just seems weird that...
Seems very corrupt, though.
Now, Keith Carter is saying that he didn't tell Lane Kiffin that on Sunday. Did he tell him that at all? Micah, that whole thing, that conversation is fascinating. Did they tell him he couldn't coach the playoffs at all? There was a weird background music in that clip that just kind of, I couldn't hear everything. But to me, when I first heard it, and the part I could hear... It's very clear. He's like, no, he was not told that Sunday. Was he told that at all? I'm really thinking that for Ole Miss to take, whether Charlie Weiss Jr. is a great guy to them or not, it's still, he jumped on that plane. He got on that plane just as fast as Lane Kiffin did. He turned his back on Ole Miss to take an assistant job for more money, probably better opportunity. Okay, we're not faulting him, right? But he got on that plane just as fast.
What else is he supposed to do?
Didn't have to think twice about it.
Oh, no, this isn't right.
What, to get on the plane? No, but to come back is weird, man. This is weird.
It is weird, but
for Ole Miss,
he could be the type of person who's like, I can see things from two points of view, and maybe what is happening here is a little wrong.
He saw it from one point of view. I'm getting on that damn plane because I'm going to LSU. He's going back. Because Lane Kiffin, somewhere deep down, and $1 million doesn't hurt, wants Ole Miss. What did I tell you that was? For every playoff game they win or just getting in the playoffs, he gets an extra bonus. He gets an extra few bones, Lane Kiffin does. That's going to be paid to him by LSU. LSU is going to cover that for him. They're going to give him more money the better Ole Miss does in the college football playoffs. So Charlie Weiss Jr. goes back. If I'm Ole Miss and I'm not moving in the rankings, I'm staying at sixth place. I'm staying sixth. Do I swallow my pride and say, yeah, we need you to come back? Even though you were on a plane to leave for a rival of ours, we want you to come back and lead us, help lead us in the college football playoffs. Now, again, we've talked about this. Hopefully Jim Mora can find coordinators are, you got to have good ones. This isn't just an easy job where it's a plug in play. You know, I've got this great coordinator. Oh, he's gone. Yeah, our team will be fine. No, there's a reason they're good. And that's not just Lane Kiffin. He surrounded himself with very good coordinators. But for Ole Miss to really swallow their pride and say, yeah, we'll welcome him back and he'll lead us. And then as soon as it's done, he gets right back on that plane and goes to LSU. That is, this story just gets weirder and weirder. And you know why it gets weirder? Because it's a playoff team. This wouldn't be near the situation if it was like Penn State or what LSU did at the beginning or in the middle of the season. This wouldn't be that. But this is a playoff team. That's why the system is so severely flawed. This should have never happened. This should have never been in the position where Lane Kiffin can actually walk out on a playoff team. Any coach right now, Tulane's coach is finishing it up. Why is that happening? Why is that allowed? Well, because they all probably agreed.
I think Tulane's coach has a soul.
Well, plus they're not in the same conference. They're also not in the same conference. They're not in the same world. Florida and Tulane, last I checked, are not in the same world.
They're not. No, absolutely not.
So that's different. But still, that's why this shouldn't be. I mean, Texas Tech's coach had some great thoughts on this. Should you be able to hire a coach? I mean, the Rams did it. They hired Jay Norvell from Nevada. Should you be able to poach? Because we are playing video game rules. We're turning all the penalties off. We're turning the difficulty on rookie level. We turn all the penalties off. LSU can do whatever the hell they want. Florida can do whatever the hell they want. The College Football Playoff Committee can do whatever the hell they want. They can move teams around. They can decide fates and futures. And conferences can do whatever the hell they want. I've talked about that. The Pac-12, the Mountain West, that side agreement should have never happened without the NCAA coming in and saying, wait a second, you're going into agreement together, a scheduling agreement, and you're also putting language in there that says the Pac-12 can't poach your players. Well, the Pac-12 or your teams. Well, the Pac-12 did that. And then now they're in an ongoing lawsuit with each other. And the NCAA has nothing to do with it. That is absolutely crazy to me that this is happening.
This is why we had Texas legislator yesterday saying we need to get involved. Like, this is what scares me. Like, we have a bad situation now where you have no one in charge. Now you want people who get things wrong all the time to be in charge. Like, those people are going to screw it up worse than it already is.
Yeah. No, it's I kept seeing this stuff pop up last night.
Hire the Texas Tech coach.
I think he just re-upped. I think they just took care of him.
No, I mean, hire him
he's not the only one. He's not the only one. There's been several coaches that have come out and talked about ways to fix this up. And we talk about it, but we never fix it up. And I'm telling you right now, boys and girls, if Virginia loses to Duke this weekend, and somehow they drop behind Tulane and James Madison, assuming those two teams win, the college football playoff is going to change. And they're probably going to say, guaranteed, the Power Four champs get in, regardless of where they rank.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't. But that's just going to be, that they're going to do that. You think they shouldn't, even though you like, but if they're ranking, I guess if their rankings aren't there, you don't.
It should be a meritocracy. It should be if you, and I think top 12. Like Oklahoma doesn't make it in the top 12, they don't belong. If the University of William and Mary, I don't know if they're in the FBS or
just
not.
Just use one
but
of them that's in.
If William and Mary becomes in the FBS, if they like create a football team and suddenly they're good and they're number eight, good for them. They should go.
But they won't get to number eight, Mike. They won't get to number eight. James Madison, North Texas, and Tulane don't have the schedules to get to number eight. They never will. Boise State was an anomaly because they went undefeated, or they won every game except for one, and that was against Oregon, and they only lost by a few. It was a close game. That was an anomaly.
Was that the punch game?
I don't know. That was a close game, though. That it's just not going to happen very often, if at all. But the fact that so James Madison is 25th in the Sun Belt. Tulane is 20th. They play North Texas. North Texas is 24, so North Texas, obviously, if they win, they can get in. James Madison has to play Troy. Assuming James Madison wins that game, probably won't do much for the rankings, but if Virginia... So Duke isn't ranked, Mike. I don't know where you would say they were, but they're not ranked. It is just, it really is. I think it's entertaining as hell. I think it's really cool. I think it's fun. I know you as a football elitist hate this, but I think it's exciting. But this whole ACC thing is wild. Virginia and Duke. Duke is a 7-5 team playing a 10-2 Virginia for the ACC championship this weekend. Miami is 10-2. SMU is 8-4. Pittsburgh is 8-4. But Miami is 10-2. They are number 12 in the country. Duke with a 7-5 record. Where would they be? 50s? Where would you rank Duke? Just I don't have all teams in front of me, but just there are just 7-5.
I mean, they'd be in the 70s.
Okay, so you've got Duke, and so if Duke beats Virginia, how big of a knockback would that put Virginia? Virginia's at 17. If they lose to Duke, how far back would they go?
For me, they wouldn't be in the top 25.
Then there you go. Virginia would be out, and Tulane and James Madison would be in. Now, if James Madison loses, Virginia, even if they're not in the top 25, would still probably get in because they'd be ranked higher than James Madison. They both lose. Whew. This is crack to me. This is a lot of fun. But if these two teams get in over Virginia, over Miami, over BYU, the committee will come together again. And do you think the committee will really push Virginia down that far, though, knowing that it would allow room for James Madison and Tulane to get in? Would the committee just say, okay, we're going to drop Virginia all the way to 24, and then we'll just knock James Madison back? Or we'll drop Virginia to 25? I don't know.
You're assuming that Virginia is a big deal. Virginia
school. They're not a big deal, but they're a bigger deal than James Madison and Tulane, right?
I don't know how, TV doesn't care about Virginia.
They care about them more than James Madison. Dude, Virginia is only a 3.5.
If this was Ohio State,
yeah.
If this was Ohio State,
right,
I'd get behind that conspiracy theory. I don't know if I can get that behind that conspiracy theory with Virginia.
You think they value Virginia less or the same as James Madison?
No. I don't know how much they care. It's
no.
Just Virginia.
They,
Virginia's going to pull in people
but
from
they're still
Virginia.
ACC. They're still ACC. Virginia's only a 3.5-point favorite in this game, by the way, against Duke. There's got to be a little small part of you that is rooting for Duke and then rooting for James Madison and then rooting for Tulane. Or either way, Tulane, North Texas, either way, they're going to get that. They're going to get that one in.
Can North Texas get in? Because I kind of want
yes.
them to get in.
North Texas will. If North Texas is 24th in the American, they play Tulane for the championship, for their conference championship, for the American championship. So the winner of that gets in. And then the question is it going to be James Madison or Virginia that gets in? There's got to be a part of you that's rooting for this, man. Like the Joker in the Batman trilogy, in Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy. The Joker just sometimes wants to see the world burn.
I'm actually rooting for Indiana to win the whole thing.
Okay, I'm not asking who you're rooting for to win the whole thing. I'm asking about this weekend.
Well, part of me, since Washington's not in it, part of me wants to see the world burn. Yes, part of me is the Joker.
Aaron texting in, and we can solve this pretty fast. If you had to guess, who do you think had the tougher schedule, Virginia or James Madison? Well, Virginia played Florida State at the time, was number 8.
Virginia is now Florida State, yes, is now a donut.
They're a donut, yes, but they were 8 at the time. So if you want to say that that was a good win at the time, I don't know. I mean, who else did they beat? They didn't beat anybody. James Madison, who'd they beat? Weber State, Georgia Southern. Whose schedule was harder?
Virginia.
They barely beat Bill Belichick's North Carolina team.
This is why conference championships are BS.
Why?
Because you're going to get like a team that happened to have a better record in the conference, but they're not ranked that high. They just happen to play the weaker teams in the conference. So they're 7-1 in the conference.
Yep. Yeah.
And the team that really deserves it played, you know, the Oregon and played the Ohio State.
Miami,
and lost to both.
Miami, talk about a team that deserves it. They beat Notre Dame to start the season. They beat They beat South Florida when they were ranked 18th. They beat Florida State when they were ranked. And they beat Pitt recently, 38-7. Which Pitt's 8-4.
Not a horrible. That's a decent win. Pitt's not bad.
How did they determine Duke's schedule? Yeah, Duke's schedule. They said it was harder. The schedule was harder. It was more difficult. They had Illinois in there. They lost to Tulane. But it's all about your conference record that gets you into your championship game, and that's why the rankings are. This Miami will be the team, then BYU, and probably Notre Dame. Those three, and then what happens with Tulane and James Madison? Those three or four teams will be the team the committee's going to sit down and talk about.
Ultimately, I want the team with the highest ranking. Like if Virginia wins, do they have the highest ranking?
No. If they win, they will not move up to 12.
Actually, you know what? I want the team with like the worst record. I want the team with the lowest record. I just want to see chaos. Because I want to show people that, oh, you won your conference? Lottie freaking da.
And you want to see those teams go get blown up.
Who cares? You won your conference.
No, I'm the opposite.
You still suck. You don't deserve to be there.
I'm the opposite. I would be rooting for the James Madisons and the Tulanes to go do something silly. Because I love this.
But
I think this is
they deserve that, though.
This is not, if we just went 1-12, it'd be easy. I love this, and I think, again, if you're going to allow them to exist in the same world as Ohio State and Georgia and Texas Tech and Oregon and Ole Miss and all those teams, well, Ole Miss now, then this is the only way.
Then put them on your schedule. Mm. Call up Ohio State. Hey, Ohio State, we would like to play you.
But if they're good, does Ohio State want to risk playing a decent G5 school? No, Ohio State's a different story, but
Ohio State's going to say, yeah. Yeah, we want to play you.
Yeah.
They need to call up Washington and say, hey, Washington, we noticed your strength
fun.
Of schedule
Dude,
is not great early in the season.
We'll
play you.
Way overdue for a break, Michael. We are way overdue for a break. I do have some tickets to give away, though. UNC is taking on South Dakota this week as part of the Big Sky Summit League Challenge Tournament. They've got Omaha tonight, and then they'll play South Dakota on Saturday, December 6th at 6 o'clock. I got a 4-pack for you right now. Be caller number 7 on our First Advantage hotline, 888-530-0043. This basketball team is good. They're 7-1. They have some really good players. Quinn Danker was just named the Big Sky Conference Player of the Week again. This is a very good basketball team. So caller number 7, call right now, and I got a 4-pack for you for this weekend's game between UNC men's basketball and South Dakota, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. 34 after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Merry Christmas.
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Thanks for making KFKA a part of your diet.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back into the show. Whew. That's a blast to get into, Mike. That is a lot of fun. Talk about college football. It always gets crazy. Okay, coming up, the Rockies found their new general manager. We'll talk about that coming up next. But first, Michael, we got to try to catch up on the clock here, bro. Okay? We went a little over the top. Mainly your fault. You're the producer of the show. You're supposed to keep the wheels on this thing.
Brady, we need to keep the wheels on.
40 minutes after the hour. Shall we get to the latest on the local sports flash?
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. The Colorado Rockies now have their general manager. General manager. They got their manager taken care of by just keeping Warren Schaefer. And now they've hired Josh Burns as their new GM. He was with the Dodgers front office. He was a GM of the Diamondbacks as well and the Padres. He had a stint with the Rockies. He was an assistant GM with the Rockies from 1999 through 2002. He was also an assistant GM with the 2004 Red Sox during their curse-breaking World Series, as Patrick Saunders puts it. Guy with the Dodgers had he's worked with them for a long time, but he was the club scouting and player development guy. And a lot of people like to throw out the Dodgers spend a lot of money. They bring in a lot of top free agents. But I think what kind of gets lost in that conversation is they're very good at player development as well. A lot of their stud players are guys that they've homegrown. They've built up through the ranks over the years. So, sure. Yeah. He's very interested in the analytics stuff. He's in on that. So now with Dee Podesta and Burns and Warren Schaefer, I don't know. I'm fine with it. I have no issues with it.
Well, with
nothing
the Rockies,
glaring.
With the Rockies and all their minor league teams being so good, like, isn't this something that you want? Like, all the development, bring up all the developing
how
players?
How do you get them to that? How do you get them to bridge over once they actually make it to the big leagues? Like, How are you really developing these guys? Because you hear a lot of these younger guys that are doing really good things, and then suddenly they actually make it to the Rockies and they really struggle. So is this a kind of guy that can develop enough people around him to truly develop these players to get them ready for that next level? Listen, man, I'm good with it. I'm not going to sit here and say I had 465 names ready to go for the next GM. I'm just glad they got a GM hired. So you've got Paul Dee Podesta, taking over, and you got Josh Burns, and you got your president of baseball operations. You got your GM, and I like that they stayed with Warren Schaefer. Apparently he was pretty much the only interview they had. That's what I heard. That Warren Schaefer was really the only guy. Some people really hate that. I don't have a problem with it. I want to see what Warren Schaefer has. And I want to see him with a real season most of the season under his belt, but an off season, and now with new leadership, it appears. It does seem like the Rockies are starting to do things differently with Walker Monfort, all that. It does seem like the Rockies are starting to do things differently.
I was afraid that they would hire someone else from the Browns.
Nope, not from the Browns. How about from the Dodgers?
That'll do. There you go. Yeah. An actual baseball.
I like it. I think it's good. Josh Burns is going to be the GM of the Colorado Rockies. 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. We will wrap up hour number two. Coming up, we got buy or sell. We got Sean Keeler. The Broncos continue to look a lot like that 2015 team, and I'll tell you why. They were winning games in a very similar fashion. We'll be right back.
Avalanche games and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
At the time. Welcome back. Man, a lot of news, Michael. A lot of stuff just keeps coming down. This Lane Kiffin thing is definitely the story. And as Keith Carter, the athletic director for Ole Miss, we're getting more sound bites. Him talking about the player meeting. He met with the leadership group of the players. And we have a sound bite from that, or we have a short clip from that interview. And we also have more on the fact that maybe Charlie Weiss Jr. was in the plans all along to finish the job. But Lane Kiffin's making it sound like it was him that graced Ole Miss and he's the one who did this. So we will talk about that. We've got more clips coming up that we'll play back in the third hour of the show. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post is going to join us as well, because CU is in a really weird spot, man. They got problems, and money is one, a big one. Buy or sell, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.